Thanks very much, Jeff. And old is correct, actually. In terms of the trade in which I'm involved, which is the iron working trade, I am pretty much a dinosaur. If you don't believe that, ask the guys that work for me. They will tell you that when I started in the iron business that we were still using rivets. We weren't, but nonetheless. I don't want to crush your timepiece there. I can read that one, so I think we're all right. I'm going to read from the Word of God this morning, so if you'll turn with me to Psalm 116. Psalm 116, and once you've turned there, or while you're on your way, if you'll stand with me out of regard for the Word of God, we'll read. Psalm 116. Begin our reading in verse 1. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Please remain standing and we'll seek the Lord's face in prayer. And then afterwards you may be seated. Let's all pray. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we come unto Thee this morning, standing upon the merits of Christ our Savior. We thank Thee and praise Thee that it is our great and glorious privilege to know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. We praise Thee that Thou art the true and living God, that beside Thee there is no other, that Thou hast formed all things by the word of Thy power, and that Thou dost uphold them, and that they continue by Thy good pleasure, and at the point at which Thou hast determined that this world and all the things in it shall come to an end, that there will be a new heavens and a new earth, that these things shall continue until that day. And then we look forward to the return of Christ with power and great glory to receive us unto Himself, that where He is, there we may be also. We thank Thee today for the privilege that we have to be here in the presence of the people of God. We pray that Thou wilt take up the Word of God and drive it home into every heart. We pray that Thou wilt fill both preacher and people with Thy Holy Spirit. We pray that should there be any out of Christ today, that Thou wilt save the soul that's most nigh unto hell. And we pray that Thou wilt edify the saints and build them up in the most holy faith and use us for Thy honor and for Thy glory. Satisfy our souls today, we pray, with a feast of fat things, and of wine upon the lees, and good wine well refined. For it's in the name of Christ we pray with thanksgiving, pleading the merits of His atoning blood alone. Amen. You may be seated. Our text of Scripture this morning is in the 15th verse of Psalm 116, and these comprise the words of our text. precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. We do not naturally associate the word precious with the word death. We have precious friends. We have precious moments. We have precious gems. But if we're having a conversation and engaged in a discussion with almost anyone, we very rarely, if ever, will put together precious and death in the same sentence. Apart from this text of Scripture, I cannot honestly say that I have ever in my lifetime heard a discussion in which these two things were put together naturally. Check your memory banks yourself. See if you have ever heard such a thing. It's not something that we tend to put together. So why raise it as a subject for consideration for the saints of God on such a day as today? I have a personal reason why I am doing that. My mother is dying. Now, I fully expected today to tell you that she had died. But I spoke with her this morning. She sounds slightly better today. Our tickets to see her are booked for Thursday. But she fell on Christmas Eve, shattered her shoulder, broke her pelvis, had to be brought into a care facility after she'd gotten out of the hospital, and the congestive heart failure that she has is progressing, and she's going to die. Now, it may be today or it may be a few days from now, but this is imminent. So we know that this is going to happen. And I perhaps would have gone to see her sooner. However, there were a number of other responsibilities that I had, including this one this morning, with the fire department, with weddings and funerals and other things. And when I talked to her, she and I determined that she would rather have me carry out the ministry that the Lord has given me and then come and see her rather than to drop everything and come see her now. So that's the reason I'm here this morning and not in Indiana. So, having said that, when Pastor Woolsey asked me to preach, obviously there are certain things on my mind now which are taking precedence over other things that I would contemplate on other occasions. And this imminent passing of my mother is something that's very prevalent in my own heart and mind. So, as I began to think about what I should bring to your attention this morning, this text of Scripture came back to my mind over and over again. And so, therefore, I believe that in a non-funeral context, it's appropriate for us to consider this, because I think we need to, if at all possible, think as deeply as we can about these things prior to the death of a family member or something that is more imminent or catastrophic than that. It's good for us to contemplate these things in a non-emergent context so that we understand when we come to a funeral service or when we discuss the death of someone with someone else who may be going through a crisis with a family member. It's important for us to know what we think about this and to have considered it ahead of time. So therefore, this morning, I believe it becomes an appropriate topic for our conversation and our meditation. So when we say, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints, of whom are we speaking? Who is a saint? Well, if you read Roman Catholic theology, a saint is a person who has done extraordinary things. The Roman Catholic idea or conception of a saint is that it's over and above what anyone else has done. Someone who's done extraordinary things.
extraordinary works, so much so that their works will even count for someone else. So that's quite remarkable, really, when you think about it. However, the Scripture really indicates that a saint is not someone who has done extraordinary, miraculous works, but someone in whom God has done a miraculous work. So, if you read in the New Testament, you read the epistles, and Paul, in writing, will talk to the people to whom he's writing, and he will refer to them as those who are called to be saints. He refers to them not as saints in the future tense, but as saints already. So what really, when we consider this, constitutes a saint? I would submit to you that the Scripture indicates that a saint is any individual bought with the blood of Christ who knows Him by personal faith. Therefore, I could speak of Saint Kenneth, Saint Angie, Saint Mike. I could speak of these people in terms of sainthood, and I'm not going to go down the list, so don't feel left out, please. But the fact of the matter is, if you are redeemed, bought with the blood of Christ, if you have embraced Christ as He's freely offered in the gospel, then you qualify as being a saint. Now, there comes this moment when we, all things being equal, will die. As they say in Ireland, it comes to us all. And all things being equal, there comes the moment that unless we tarry unto the second coming of the Lord and are taken by the upper taker instead of the undertaker, we're going to die. So, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. How so? How so? Our view, because we are born of earth and we are bound to earth by earthly bodies and earthly circumstances, is not essentially heavenly. We are not essentially looking at things by nature in the manner in which God does. So, if we're going to understand how you can put these two words together in a single sentence and say, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints, we're going to have to get some understanding of how God views things. And that essentially is what it is to be spiritually minded. Essentially, to be spiritually minded is to be able to view natural circumstances in a supernatural way. To view natural circumstances not as man would view them, not as the unsaved individual would view them, but as God views them. And as you're able more to understand and view things as God views them, you become more like unto Christ because you're more conformed unto His mind. You have a better understanding of how He views things. So you can look at an earthly circumstance and people will look at it and say, well, here's the death of a very good person. What a terrible thing. And you say, well, no, it's not really a terrible thing. It's a precious thing inside of God. It's a wonderful thing. This person has now run their earthly course and is being promoted. Why should I sorrow as those who have no hope? So we want to look at things not from the perspective of how everyone else looks at them. If you're a Christian, you should get used to being different. Not because you're odd. Oddness is not spirituality. It's a difference. Just because you're weird doesn't mean you're holy. But as a Christian, we view things differently than other people do. We view things more and more as we're conformed to the image of Christ as God views them. We take a spiritual view of things, not a natural view of things. So when we come to this great event, this event which is so final in earthly terms, we don't approach it from the same manner in which an ungodly person approaches it. We don't view it in the same way that they view it. And we realize that when it comes down to our turn to pass through the valley of the shadow of death, it will not be really the same for those of us who are the people of God as it is for someone who, like the French atheist Voltaire, went screaming into eternity. Because we know that one who is the shepherd and is our shepherd, yea, though we pass through the valley of the shadow of death. So therefore, this morning, as we consider this text of Scripture, I want us to consider it not from just the perspective of regular humanity, but from God's perspective, and consider how is it that He could say, precious in my sight is the death of my saints. How is it that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints? Well, if we consider it to begin with, I want us to consider that the death of His saints is precious in the Lord's sight because it is something which involves His children. Something which involves His children. Parents. How many of you have been to sporting events about which you actually intrinsically cared nothing whatsoever? But you went faithfully every week because your child was involved. How many of you have done that? Okay. I have been to, most of you are not familiar with Australia, I have been to netball games week after week after week, stood in 80 and 90 degree weather week after week after week, watched netball games. Not because I like netball. I don't care. But my daughter was playing, and so I was there. Basketball games. I have gone to city rec league ball games where old guys who are well past the glory days are still trying to play basketball. And you go, and they want to argue with the ref, and the refs are terrible. And they probably have a reason to. But I go. Why? Because my son is playing. That's the reason I go. We will go to things about which we... I mean, have you ever been to a dance recital?
Yeah.
Oh, my word. And there's 40-11 of these things, and they're yay big, and they toddle across the stage, and you watch them just so you can see that 3 minutes when your daughter is going to be there. It's terrible. It's like purgatory. But you go. Why? Why do you go? You go because your children are involved. And it's important to you to be there. Because your child is involved. When it comes to the matter of death, it's important to God because His children are involved. That's what makes it precious. We will take photographs ad infinitum of all sorts of things. Why? Because I want the shot of my child doing that. And I want to savor that moment. I will sit through hours and hours of graduation ceremonies. Why? Because my child is going to walk across the stage. Because it's important to me. It's precious to me to be involved in my child's life and to see them at the moment when one of the most significant things in their life is happening to them. So precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints because it involves one of His children. God wants to be involved in the life of His children. And to that end, as you find throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament, occasions when God would show up at critical junctures in the lives of His children. Why? Because important things were happening to them. When Joshua stepped into the land of Canaan and he was about to undertake the conquering of the land, who came to visit him? Well, Christ Himself in a Christophany appeared to him to assure him and to comfort him and to encourage him with regard to the mission that God had set before him. Why? Because one of his children was involved in a great undertaking, and God came personally to make sure that he understood that he was there for him. When you find the situation of David, and David would be up against something, and God, the presence of God, would draw an iron through it. What was that? It was God being involved in his life. Elijah in 1 Kings in chapter 19, when he was so depressed and so down, and difficulties were overwhelming him, and he desired to die. Who appeared to him at that point to strengthen him, to encourage him? Who met with him at the mountain of God there in Mount Horeb? It was God Himself. Why? Because God is interested in the major events in your life. He's interested in the minor ones as well. But get to that critical point. Get to the point where the most difficult things that you have ever possibly faced are about to happen to you. And you will find that yea, though you walk through the presence, yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil because your God is with you. For what reason? Because God is interested in anything in which His children are involved. So precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. But that in and of itself is not the only reason we can say that it's true. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints because it means that they have completed the work that He intended for them to do. Our family has had a lot of dying of late. My wife's sister died on March the 17th in 2011. Her mother died on the 25th of June, 2012. Her grandmother died on the 25th of November, 2012. My mother, as I say, will die probably within the next week or two. We've had a lot of that lately. And grandmother died at 101. At the funeral of my mother-in-law, which was shortly after June the 25th, Grandma was on the front row as the matriarch of our clan at the age of 100. In attendance for the funeral service of her only child. Talking to Grandma became a bit of a challenge in this respect. She could not understand why at 101 she was still living and everyone else around her, including her own child, had died. So it was difficult. I can remember my wife sitting down with her when we would go and visit her, and Lisa was very faithful to go and take her to the church chapel service there in the nursing home every week and would be there with her. And Grandma would say, you know, I pray every night that God would take me home. I'm so ready to go. I just don't understand why I'm still here. And Lisa's response to her, which is a wise one, was, Grandma, you have not yet completed everything that God wants you to do. That is really the answer. God has things for you to do. God has things for me to do. One of the great preachers of the past said, I am immortal until my work for God is finished. He was right. As long as God has things for you to do, you're going to be here. He has a purpose for your life. He has a plan for your life. He has a job for you to do. You fulfill a role in His economy that He has particularly fit and fashioned for you to fulfill. You very often, and I very often, don't know what that is. Sometime, in fact, I think I probably preached on it here. You remember me preaching sometime on a certain man drew a bow at a venture and struck the king of Israel between the joints of the harness? That's a one-off. That guy steps out onto the scene of human history, draws an arrow, doesn't shoot at anything particularly, and hits the king of Israel between the joints of the harness and kills him by the prophecy of God, so fulfilling the word of God on that one occasion. I've got a theory that there may be one particular reason why you and I come into existence in the world, and that may be accomplished within the space of one single act. That everything in your life prior to that leads you to that moment, and that's the reason why God has you here. Now, I can't prove that, but it's an idea that I have that may be true. I don't know what purpose I serve. I would dare say that it's never the one I think that I serve. But I serve some purpose in the economy of God. You serve some purpose in the economy of God. He has some reason for you to be here, to be a part of this congregation, to be a part of your family, to work where you work, to meet the people that you meet, to know the people that you know, to interact with the people with whom you interact. God has some reason for you to be here, and He has something for you to do, which is important, because when you get up in the morning thinking that here's another useless day in life, it's never a useless day in life. It fulfills the purpose that God has for you and prepares you for whatever that single thing is that He has for you to do. Maybe to influence that one person. Maybe to carry out that one act. And at the point at which God has finished with you, then it's time for you to go. We read this morning in the 90th Psalm, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Essentially, my days are numbered. Before I was born, it was determined all the days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80. Yet is our strength, labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. 80 years and 10 is 70. 80. My mother's 81. She's coming down to the end of things. By reason of strength, God has given her to live 80 years plus 1. But she's coming to the end of it. Why? Because God has essentially allowed her to fulfill the work which He has given her to do. So your life is never in vain. It's never a waste of time for you to be here. It's never, I have no usefulness. I have no purpose for existence. No, you do. God has a purpose for you. God has something for you to accomplish. God has some reason for you to be here. And He will give you a certain number of days, and you will accomplish the purpose that He has for you. And at the point at which He has done with you in this scene of time, then it's time for you to go. So precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints, because it means that you have fulfilled the work which He has for you to do. And that's important. You know, it's very important. I have a few things that I pray about. There are a few things, simple goals in my life. One of them is to hear at the end of it, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Christ is a great pattern of servanthood. If you read the Gospel of Mark, you have Him depicted as a servant of Jehovah. So I would desire to fulfill the work that God has given me to do in such a way as to honor and glorify him, so that he, at the end, will say to me, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Precious is the sight of the Lord. In the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, because it means you have finished the work which he intended for you to do. And then I want you to consider with me another reason why the death of the saints is precious in the sight of the Lord, and that is that the saints' death is precious in the sight of the Lord because it brings them nearer to him. This incoming week, my wife and I will have been married 37 years. This week? Next week? 20th. What's 1 week compared to that? I know it's the 20th. I'm sure about that. So, when we had been married 35 years, that being kind of a significant milestone, we said, "Well, what would you like to do?" Well, we thought about going on a cruise. Actually, that's not really good advice right now. Going on a cruise seems to be not the thing you should really do. It doesn't seem to be working out for a lot of people. So we said, we won't go on a cruise. I love the beach, so we thought maybe we'd go back to San Diego, where we used to live. No, I don't want to do that. You know, at the end of the day, you just get sandy and, you know, let's just don't do that. But we did have the opportunity to have our children together. So we decided that we would take the money that we had been going to spend on a trip or a cruise or something or other, and that we would bring all the family together, and that we would spend time with our family. So that's what we did for our 35th wedding anniversary, was that we made arrangements for all the children to come home, and were able to get everyone together. And that's what we did for our 35th wedding anniversary, was we rented a limousine, went out to eat together with the family, and had a lovely evening. Why is that important in the context of our text? Well, you just like to have your kids around you. You just do. Now, we have a family gathering once a week so that all the children that are close can bring the grandchildren to our house. Typically, it tends to be at our house, and we have this gathering once a week, and it's a tradition in our family because you just want your kids close to you. If I don't do anything on a Sunday evening other than eat a plate of food and build giant paper airplanes for my grandsons to fly out my backyard, I've had a great week. No matter what else happens, I've had a great week if I can spend that time with my children and my grandchildren. Why? Because as a parent, you just like having your children close to you. It's not always possible, but I love to do it because I want them there. So, for our 35th wedding anniversary, that's what we did. Once a week, we try to gather our family together with the intention and purpose that we should have the opportunity to spend time with them. Simple as this. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints because it brings his children nearer unto him. Nearer than they were. Does God fill heaven and earth? Well, of course he does. Is he everywhere present? Well, of course he is. Does the Holy Spirit indwell the believer? Yes. But it's not like being in heaven. It's not like being in the presence of God. It's not like being with the saints of God gathered around the throne of grace and of God singing worthy of life. It's not the same. Christ said, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places, many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Why? Because he wants his children near him. Simple as that. And for me to pass from this scene of time sooner than everybody else around me does is not a bad thing. Because it means that God has finished has seen to it that I've finished the work which he's intended for me to do, and wants me closer to him, not later, but now. And so therefore, he says, it's time for you, child of mine, to come home. And so precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints, because it brings his children closer unto him. So therefore, it's precious to him to have his children closer unto him than they would be otherwise. Therefore, this week or so, my mother is going to put her foot upon the golden stair and ascend into the presence of the Lord her God. We have hoped, and I continue to hope, that she will fall asleep one night, awaken in the arms of Christ. I can't guarantee that, but I would like for it to be for her sake. But I know this, that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So what is precious to him should be also precious to me. Because I am his and he is mine forever, and I should view life and death as he does. Therefore, I should say precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, no matter who it is. So I submit to you, child of God, that if you would see things as Christ does, that you should so see the death of his saints in this way, as a thing precious in his sight, and so also in yours. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for the opportunity that we have to spend time with the people of God. We thank Thee, Lord, that it's a worthwhile endeavor to be engaged in the study and the contemplation of the Word of God. So, Lord, we pray that Thou wilt today enable us to have knowledge and wisdom and understanding of Thy Word, to which we have never yet been privy. And we pray that we would have insights into the Scripture and into Thy mind, like unto which we have never had before. So, Lord, we pray that our whole view of life and death, particularly, will be transformed by our enablement by Thee and by Thy Holy Spirit's working to see things as Thou dost see them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.